LNE Volume 3, a video by the great Franklin Carbonati, spanning Rome, Milan, London, New York, Paris, Barcelona, Montreal, and Toronto, featuring Rebo, Volvo, Snens, MTNW, Anger, Talker, Xavier, BO South, Lure, Rehab, Time, Zonic, XSM, Kemto, Salon, TD, Emno, Fayer, Toser, Nove, Stays, Villo, OSF, Waste, Soul, Zano, Guko, and What. The full video is now available on our Patreon. Enjoy, peace, love, and respect. We're live.
Let's fucking go.
What's up, bro?
What's up, man?
I'm hyped you're here.
I'm so happy
to
be
here. Thanks
for
coming down, bro.
Yeah, so just real quick, I'm going to just get it started by saying I've been friends with Curtis for a minute. I met him in high school because we both skated. And then a bunch of stuff happened in between. He ended up touring with Lil Yachty. He ended up filming for people like ASAP Rocky. Was that Schwale? Wale?
Fucking no, never Wale. There's a list of people though. There's a good list.
Okay, yeah, there's a ton of people. What's his face? Post Malone.
Post Malone. He did a post tour. Yeah, that show was pretty crazy.
Yeah, he was just on the whatever podcast.
Oh, the Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Seen that. He's a master of DIY. You're a master of DIY.
I'd say yeah, DIY and just fucking gorilla.
Yeah.
Just do it however the fuck you want.
Yeah. So I'm gonna get. Where are you from?
From the dirty Worcester fucking zoo, you know it. Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and it's not common that people come out of Worcester and do what you've done.
It's not. It's really just like a perspective, you know? It's like when you're there, you only know what's there. So it's like you're just going to do what everyone else that does that's there. So
yeah,
it's like you can't really expect many people to want to do that, you know?
Do what?
To go beyond.
Yeah. Go beyond what?
Go beyond of like whatever you were referring to in the first question.
Yeah. No, but I want you to say it.
I guess, I don't know. It just depends like
whatever. Well, that made me say, so you haven't, the last time you worked a 9-to-5, any type of regular job that wasn't just completely self-employment doing what you want was, what, probably, like 10 years ago?
It sounds scary to say like that because I'm only fucking 22, but
yeah.
Like, nah, it's probably like 8 or something.
8 years ago or something like that?
When I was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, and since, when did you decide that, so you started filming music videos for people in our city. They were just like gangbangers and just like, you were just filming music videos for all of them. And you knew you wanted it to become like a job eventually, right?
Yeah, I feel like it started out more just as fun, just like, you know, filming, skating and shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like, honestly, you really kind of inspired me to start filming a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like watching your YouTube and shit back in the day, it was like, oh shit. And then this kid was a fucking senior in high school when I was a freshman. So I remember just like seeing the shit on YouTube and being like, yo, this kid goes to my school. Yeah. Like, that shit's crazy. So I remember I'd see you guys filming, and then I was like, oh, this is fire. And then I'd be like, yo, can I use your camera? He'd be like, no. And I was like, all right, fuck it. Like, I guess I'm going to go get my own shit or something. Yeah. So I started filming skating, and then the music video shit happened just from, like, some kids that skated that also rapped. They were like, yo, like, Wells.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, bro, like, you should try doing a music video. And then once I kind of realized I could do it, I was like, okay, I just got to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like after, you know, it's just like anything. If you just can do it the first time or just do it at all.
Yeah. A little by little, crawling your way.
100%.
You were doing, like, starting to record videos while you were still working a 9-to-5?
I mean, I was in fucking, like, I was like a sophomore.
Yeah.
So, like, I started doing videos, like, for money around, like, freshman, sophomore year. So, like, I was already starting to realize, like, okay, I'm making more money than, like, people I know with a job. So, like, this is definitely kind of lit in some way, you know?
What were your goals, like, when you first started? Did you think, like, you were going to fucking link up with Post Malone and all these people?
Nah, hell, I mean, in a way, yes. But I couldn't obviously say it at the time what it would be. Like, I knew.
Because nobody really believed in you.
No, not at all. Because the thing is, you can't. Like, you know, I'm just a fucking another statistic from where I'm from. So it's like, until you figure out even how to break that, it's like, how can I get people to see me different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step. I forgot the question, but yeah.
Yeah, and then you started filming all these just music videos. When did it slowly start becoming more serious where you were like, all right, I'm getting actual money for this? Was it before or after Yachty?
Nah, way before. In high school still. Okay. I remember I shot my first wedding video in high school, and I got paid like $2,500. I was like, bro, what the fuck? Like,
for just one afternoon.
Yeah, and that was before, like, you know how now we think of money and, like, we're, like, older, like, think of, like, thousands. And, like, mm-hmm. before we'd have, like, a 20, we'd be like, yeah, shit. Yeah, yeah. Like, that was the first time I was still thinking about, like, $200, $300.
Because you're in high
school, yeah. Yeah, and someone's like, all right, I'll give you, like, $2,500. I'm like, what the fuck? All right, yeah. So it kind of just shifted my perspective on money and, like, what money could do. And at that time, you have no responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So all you do is spend money on fun shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like I kind of just got locked into that, like, mm-hmm. lifestyle of just having fun every single day.
But when you were younger, your mom, I remember she kept super strict tabs on you. Mm-hmm. You weren't allowed to go even skate that much. You weren't around that often. Do you think that caused you to just be like, once you broke free, like, bah, I'm getting 1998 tattooed on my hand. Like, yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
I think so, in a way. Like, she was interesting about it, how she did it. Like, she was a really good mom in the sense of, like, she let me do shit, but she didn't let me do a lot of shit too, where, like, I don't know, it never made sense to me. I still don't really understand it, but, like, there were some things, like, she wouldn't let me go skate downtown, but if I wanted to, like, go to my aunt's house, she would let me skate like 3 miles mm-hmm. to another city. I'm like, to me it was always like, what's the logic? I would ask her, like, and I'm like 12, like, mom, please explain, like, mm-hmm. I'd print out a map and be like, this is way longer, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And so, like, there was always that thing in me where I'd have to finesse away, like, how to let my mom let me do this shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the first type of, like, finessing began, was just like, I need to fucking figure out mm-hmm. how my mom's gonna let me do this shit.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what it was always an issue, or, like, I always had to prove I was gonna be here at this time.
I remember.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely remember that shit.
So then you started filming the music videos, and then from there, like, go break down the steps of when you, because I feel like the breaking point was when you snuck into that mm-hmm. show, and then you.
So yeah, so I'm doing like videos all through high school,
okay.
just kind of fucking around, and then, I had went to this ASAP Ferg and Tory Lanez concert, and I think it was my senior year, and I was like just about to graduate, and I was standing in line. I was standing in line, and I saw one of my friends, and he had his camera, and he just skipped the entire line, and I was just like, oh, shit, like, what's this kid doing? And then I asked him, I'm like, yo, are you sneaking in or something? And he was like, nah, I'm shooting photos. Like, you're allowed to shoot photos if you send them, like, a little email with your photography work. They'll come let you do some shit for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, that's kind of fire. So basically, I hit him up the next week. I was like, yo, you think if... maybe I throw you some bread or something, I could, like, use some of your photos to, like, send the emails to these guys to, like, try to, because I've never shot photos of that before, and they don't want to see some, like, wedding photos at a concert. Like,
yeah.
So he was like, yeah, sure, don't even worry about the bread. So he sent me a bunch of photos. Shout out my homie Greg. He's a fucking go for that. He sent me a bunch of photos, and shout out my homie Dan. He's a go for that. I don't remember his name, so I'm going to let you know which one it is.
Okay.
And we're going to cut that one in. I think it's Greg, though. So he sent me the photos. I sent my email, and they were like, it was a Lil Yachty show. And so I had to hit up this girl, Cody Shane's manager. And she was a part of Yachty's team at the time. He had this thing called the sailing team, and it was like him and like a bunch of his friends that he signed and shit. So I hit up her manager and was like, hey, look, I'm trying to come to the show tonight. I see you're in Boston. Like, let me shoot some photos. I sent her the photos. She was like, hell yeah, like, for sure. I'm like, okay, that was fucking easy. And I was like, let me just hit up a couple more people just in case that doesn't work. So I hit up this artist named K-Supreme. He was on the sailing team. This kid BU, this kid K the Yacht. I think there might have been one more. And I just told him, hey, look, if you guys want to shoot a music video or something later after the show, I'm totally down. I'll do it for free. And just something quick, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, that night, I go to the show, and there's two shows that night. It was like a 7 o'clock show, and then I think maybe a 10 o'clock show, because it was a super small venue. Yachty wasn't really that big at the time. So I drive down to Boston, and I'm texting this girl, like, hey, look, I'm outside. Like, where do I pick up the tickets or the pass? I have no idea, you know?
Yeah.
So she's not responding. She's, like, leaving me on red. I'm like, fuck. Like, I want to figure this shit out, though, you know? And so as I'm walking up to the venue texting her, I see the sailing team, like, hop out of the Sprinter van and just go right in. And I saw one of the kids I was talking to, BU. I was like, yo, BU, what's good, bro? And he was like, oh, it's good. And I kind of just like walked in with him, you know, just talking, chopping it up, like, yeah, I can't find this lady. And then I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, the venue people think I'm with them. Mm-hmm. They think I'm with the venue people. Like, no one really gives a fuck.
Did you have a camera?
Yeah, and I'm just walking. So I'm like, all right, bet, I'm in. So then, like, before you know it, I'm inside. I'm like, oh, bet. Now it's like a whole other level, you know? Yeah. And everyone, like, that's inside is supposed to be there at that time. There's no fans. So it's like, I'm an official guy. So I kind of just made the illusion of, like, yeah, these people thought I would work with the venue thought I was with them. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of good for the whole night. So that's how I got into that show. You want me to keep going with the story?
Yeah, yeah. And then you were shooting music. Oh, you were shooting whatever.
Yeah, so I just started shooting a whole video. I was like, let me just get some fire
before
shit.
This, you had not done anything like that?
And before this, I had only shot one concert.
Okay.
And it was for Joyner Lucas, and okay. He's from Worcester. Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, let me just do something that's like hasn't been done before. Like, and I think I was so new to the concert game. I was like really into music videos. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to do these like cool transitions to where they were like seamless. And like now they have like a lot of plugins that it does it automatically. But mm-hmm. before, excuse me, you had to like really like do it physically with the camera, you know, kind of like film where you had to cut it mm-hmm. and paste it together and shit. So I'm shooting this thing and then I'm like trying to get really creative. So I'm like passing by like Yachty's dressing room, like getting a shot of him. And then, like, going by, like, I do, like, 6 or 7 times, like, trying to get it right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, fuck. Like, they're definitely starting to be like, who the fuck is this kid? And I don't blame him at all. But I was like, you know, let me just get as much as I can. So I go back out in the crowd. I'm shooting. And then I wanted to get some stuff in Yachty's dressing room of just him. So I went in the dressing room.
Meanwhile, you don't know any of them.
Meanwhile, no. And I don't even really know how this industry works or, like, the do's and don'ts of this shit. I'm just kind of...
pretty much just snuck in into a show. You have your camera on you, and you're just filming a bunch of famous people without
permission. Yeah, I'm just, like, making this whole thing, like...
from scratch.
Yeah, just, like, all right, bet. This is what I'm going to do with it. And no, until someone was like, hey, you can't do that shit. And that night, not many people told me that. So I went in Yachty's dressing room, and I put my camera up, and I was like, hey, bro, let me ask you some questions.
You went in his dressing room.
In his dressing room, yeah. And he was just sitting there. I think Coach K
might
have been there.
But you walk in and knock on the door? Like,
no, I just literally walked in. Because I'm not even, like, realizing. I think, like, the whole backstage is, like, one big-ass party, you know? Yeah, and he's just sitting over here. And it was, like, the room with all the snacks. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to get some snacks, too. But it was, like, his fucking dressing room. And so, like, I'm just sitting there, like trying to be casual. And he's just clearly, like, what the fuck? Like, he's probably never experienced that shit. So I'm like, yo, what would you say to... mind you, at the time, I'm filming for my documentary, too.
Yeah.
We can talk about that after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, so I'm asking him, like, hey, what's some advice you would give to some kids that, like, you know, are trying to make it out, but they just don't know what to do? And he was like, I don't know, like, shit, just be creative. And I was like, okay, he's not really fucking with me. Like, all right, like, I'm not going to just waste my time here. Mm-hmm. So I asked him one more question, and he just said, like, one word. I was like, all right, fuck this shit. So I left, and then and then I'm walking around, and then he finally, like, asked his manager, like, yo, who is this kid? Like, he keeps talking to me and shit.
Yeah.
And so then someone had come up to me. I think it was Coach K. And they were just like, hey, man, who are you? Like, what are you doing? And I just kind of had to, I was like, oh, I work with the venue. Like, and then I didn't really know whose side he was on and shit. So I think I flopped. And he was like, yeah, you got to get out of here, bro. Like, you can't be doing all that shit. And in my head, I'm just like, all right, let me just be honest. Like, always finesse. And then when it gets to the point of, like, you know, crunch time, just be honest with him. Yeah. And I was just like, yo, look, I'm just really trying to make the most fire video, like, you guys have ever seen. Like, I don't even do this shit. I do some whole other shit. But if you guys are down to just let me, like, show you what I got, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were like, all right, cool. Like, really? Yeah, he was like, if just don't go in there again. Like, just stay on the stage or something like that. So they got me a pass. And then I was like, all right, this for sure is,
so,
like,
you were on stage of a little audio show.
And so I was backstage. And he was like, look, just don't come back here. Just go in the crowd and the stage and all that shit.
Okay.
So then I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm, like, on stage with Lil Yachty, like, you know? And at that point in time, bro, it's just like...
You drove out there alone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I went with my ex at the time.
Yeah.
And my bro, Meezy, met me out there. And he snuck in, too. I think my ex ended up buying a ticket and she just got in. And then Meezy snuck in, too. And that was my best friend, still is... That's how I got his clothing brand tattooed on me. Mm-hmm. And so he just told, he brought a bunch of his clothes from his clothing brand and told them, like, yo, I'm with I'm Yachty's stylist. Like, he has to change for the second show. Like, he's going to be pissed. Just, like, watch out and just finesse it, you know? Yeah. So he's in. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So it's just, like, a sick-ass night. And I'm just like, damn, like, this has never happened to me before. And I just shoot the video. And then after the first show, I'm like, all right, let me get the fuck out of here. And before I left, I just got everyone's email. Like, yo, let me get your email, your number, whatever. I rush home, and then it was like a 45-minute drive. We got there like 30. And then I just start editing every single video. A video for Cody, a video for Yachty, K-Supreme, like everyone. And I try to fucking... my bad. I start editing all these videos. And I get, like, my laptop, my iPad, like, my phone. And I'm like, I'm going to send all these videos to them at the same exact time. Like try to creep them out a little bit. I'm like, yeah, whoa, yeah. Whoa, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And so I just waited till the second show was over. And I know, okay, it's probably going to take them an hour to clean up, whatever. Then they're going to have to drive to either the hotel or the airport. So I was like, whenever they're in the car, that's when I'm going to fucking do it. So I was just waiting. And this is when, like, it was a Snapchat era. So everyone was, like, posting on Snapchat crazy. So I saw they posted a Snapchat from, like, the sprinter of, like, the fans and shit. So I'm like, bet. So I just send, like, 8 videos to everyone. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the videos, they have my Instagram name. And so I made, like, a crazy fire one for Yachty with all those, like, little transitions and shit. And I posted that one on my Instagram. And I was like, I know, like, because everyone's going to get a video and not him. Yeah, he's going to be like, damn, is there one for me, too? Like, mm-hmm. And that's on my gram. So... I just posted it, sent all the videos out, and within like 10 minutes, he DM'd me. He was like, bro, this is fucking crazy. Like, yo, I think he was like, yo, I love your work. And I was like, yeah, bro, like, we got the same vision, bro. Like, trust me, like, I'm trying to do this shit if you're with it. And he was just like, yo, I'm about to text you. Like, what's your number? And he FaceTimed me. And I was just like, I remember just being like 15 minutes before that, I was just like, damn, like, this is kind of crazy. And then, like, 15 minutes later, I'm on FaceTime with this nigga, and I'm like, damn. Like, like, the perspective, like, just in that 15 minutes, if take the thought process of, like, damn, could this ever work? And, like, damn, this actually worked. And sealed that in a bottle. And, like, that's kind of what I'm trying to do with Denied Approval is, like, sell that little 15 minutes of, like, could this happen? Holy shit, it happened, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyways, like, I feel like... that moment did a lot for me. It really kind of was just like the battery in my back of like, okay.
And from that moment, how long until you were in a tour van with these bastards?
So he was like, all right, this is where it gets a little crazy. He was like, yo, my birthday's tomorrow. Like, you trying to come to Atlanta and film my birthday party? And I was like, I mean, yeah, sure, fuck it. So I don't even think I went to sleep that night. I think I just like, I don't even know, like charged all my shit, got all my shit ready. And the next day I went to the airport and, I went to Atlanta, and then I went to his crib and shit, and that shit was even crazy. It was just a week of just living in a cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
And just, like, going from, like, being a broke-ass fucking kid in Worcester, Massachusetts yeah. that has no shot of doing anything to, like, holy shit, I have a shot of, like,
yeah,
you know? Something.
It was all just because you went for it.
Yeah, so many just, like, people a fucking, like, a thought that I was like, this would be sick. Like,
I'm gonna do it.
It's kind of crazy, but let me try it anyways. Mm-hmm. I have, like, my other life is pretty whack.
Yeah.
It's worth giving up.
That's crazy. Especially like you said in high school when you were filming those skate videos, you said that ever since you did that, you had the confidence. You knew that you were going to get out, but you didn't want to tell nobody because they weren't going to believe you.
Yeah.
But, like, would you say, like, you had the willpower from the beginning to know that, like, fuck it, yo, I'm going to make something out of this? Because I've been to fucking Worcester, Massachusetts. Like, a lot of people don't know that place. But, yo, I would want to get the fuck out of there, too. That place is fucking depressing, bro. I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah. And the thing is with, like, a lot of New Yorkers is, like, they cut ass on people out of town. They think they're, like, some yuppies. Like, they got it nice. And, like New York is, you know, shitty and grimy. But, yo, I went to Worcester, bro. That place is not even, like... it's fucking depressing.
Yeah,
like,
bro,
I'm not even
really
like cutting
is,
ass. It's just how it is. And bro, like hearing this story, bro, I'm fucking. I feel like that's good motivation, you know.
Nah, bro, it is, man. Like it's for me. It was just like I always kind of have like been like this, and it's always been just like I feel like what honestly happens is like, you know, I'm someone who's happy and just like try to be positive, and then you're in a place like that, and it's like you try to like put that out and you just get shit on. Mm-hmm. And you're like, fuck, like, is this even, you can't even be happy after that. So because I think
people in Worcester growing up, they did not believe in you at all.
Yeah, no.
Like, not but, regular disbelief. I'm talking like severe on some like, I want to slap you for saying that. Tell me now.
Is nah, facts, because it was on
someone some would just get like, in his face. Yeah, no, for real. Like, on some zero belief. Yeah. Zero.
It, so but you also have to think, though, bro. Like, look, it's like history repeats itself, you know? Like, you have all these, like, people that say, like, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and mm-hmm. don't do anything. Yeah. And then you have me that looks exactly like them and is like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the point of them believing me this time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's kind of how I've always looked at it, though. And I think that's what helped me is, like, a lot of people are just out there like, yo, I can be someone. And they're waiting for someone to be like, yeah, you can. And then they start. Like, that's the meaning of denied approval. Like, do not wait for anyone's approval to, like, just at least start the shit. Go mm-hmm. for it, you know? Because me, I was just realistic. I was like, okay, no one believes this shit. Like, no one's gonna believe it. I'm really gonna have to put this in these motherfuckers' face for them to, like, even hear me out and, like, see the perspective I'm trying to push.
Yeah.
And I feel like even now, it's just now being seen, like, oh, shit, like, wow, that's he has some shit to say.
Yeah, and through your self-belief, it's made you pursue all these things, these ideas that you make into a reality. And because of that, you have had your own crib in Atlanta. You've had your own crib in LA. Mm-hmm. You've traveled the world. You've literally traveled the world. You've traveled the country, and you've been self-supportive, not working a regular job, doing legitimately what you like. When I think of you, I think of somebody who seriously refuses to do something they don't enjoy.
Yeah.
You're always doing something you like. Yeah. You're always chilling because you're doing something you like.
100%. That's what it should be.
And it's because of your self-belief in yourself.
But you know, okay, so this is where I get confused, right? Like, we see it as self-belief, but what if that's just, like, how it should be?
It should be like that.
Like, we should all just be trained to, like, think. Like, we spend the first fucking 20 years of our life learning about nonsense.
Yes.
And then, like, 21, we got to figure out who we are. Like,
mm-hmm.
we should have been known who we are, like, our strengths, weaknesses, you know what I mean? And then, like, okay, figure out how I can, what I can do in this world based on who I am, you know?
A lot of people, if, for example, most parents, for example, if they see their 15-year-old, 14-year-old filming with a video camera, they're going to say, that's cool, it's a hobby, now school is what you really got to do.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out what you like, but you already know what you like. That what you like might be a video camera. Then they say, nah. Matter of fact, if you actually don't do good in this thing you don't like, which may be school, mm-hmm. let's just say it's school, then we'll actually take away what you like. And then when you don't show any success in that thing you don't like, they're like, what, are you lazy? And it's like,
no, I don't fucking like it. It's literally right there in front of you. And I think my thing isn't even like, It's not even that I don't want to do anything I don't like. I don't want to do anything that, like, how would I say it? Like, I can't let a teacher tell me, like, how to live my life if their life is shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can teach me math, but that's it. Yeah. You know? And so, like, looking at a lot of the people that were the people supposed to be guiding me, and I'm like, look, like, so far, it looks like you're just guiding me to be exactly who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, like, even the best people around me, I'm like, I love you, but that's not what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I got a little more juice in me to fucking, 100%. You know, figure this. And now with the internet, it's like, mm-hmm. there's no reason to not, like, try every day for the next 10 years. Like, this is the first 10, 20 years of, like, something that's changed the world forever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the time to tap in and really, like, you know,
take advantage.
You've done a lot of breaking of people's opinions and what they thought is possible and what you can and can't do. Honestly.
Yeah, I hope so. Because that's the whole point.
Because most people, like, okay, so you were doing the video stuff. You went on tour. When did you go on tour with Yachty and how was that?
So basically,
you were living in a van, and then probably a month before you were just in Worcester doing nothing.
So, yeah, so basically, I fucking, how'd the tour start? So, all right, I did that birthday party thing with Yachty.
Yep.
That shit was pretty crazy. And I remember this specific, it was like one of the first days that Frank Ocean dropped his album, the Blonde album.
Okay.
And I remember just going to Yachty's crib and he was playing it. And it was the first time I heard it. And I was like, yo, what the fuck music is this? And like, it was this long ass hallway. And I remember just going to his crib and like, that whole experience was really crazy to me. Like, it's not that cool of a story, but it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that tour, and I stayed at his house for a couple, or that birthday party. Let me say that again. So we did that birthday party, and then I stayed at his house for a couple days, and I think within like a month, I ended up back on tour with him. I went home back to Worcester after the birthday, just started kind of like packing my shit. I kind of knew he wanted to do some shit, and packed up my shit, started selling everything, and then was just kind of waiting. And then he was like, "Yo, you ready?" I was like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." So I went on tour. I think it was,
you don't really know any of these people before this.
No, I know them of the internet. Like,
and you're gonna be living with them in a little room in a van.
Yeah, a little fucking tour bus. So
how was the room?
The tour bus?
The room where you sleep.
Oh no, so it's not a room.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not a room. No. It's all right. So the tour bus is exactly as wide as this. Literally a cot. You sleep in a cot. Yeah, it's exactly as wide as this wall to that wall, right? Okay. And like from that side of the table will be like a bunk, and there'll be three, like one, two, three,
and you're
then right this here. This is a walking space, and then there'll be one, two, three here.
Yeah.
So basically, you're fucking tucked away. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. So it's fucking three, and then three, yeah. And then three, and three.
So when you lay down, where's the ceiling?
Probably like, if I was like this on my
yeah,
phone,
yeah.
Probably
be right here. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
So like you can't like when you want to plug your phone charger in. You can't, because the plugs at the where your feet are.
You gotta stay like.
So you have to like crunch down and like crunch all the way down into a ball and plug that shit in.
Okay.
It's pretty ass, but
yeah,
it's fun though. Like it's cool because it's a different experience every time. Like if you sleep on like maybe like the back bottom, you get like the bump of like the back of the bus, and you're also getting like the hum of the engine. You know what I mean? Whether if you sleep on the top front, you sway more because you're taller. You're up higher, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of trippy, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
But it's a cool experience.
So that was one of your experiences of living in a van, but you've legitimately lived in a van, and actually in like a sedan car for what, 3 months straight?
Well, so, all right, the first vehicle that I lived in by choice was my school bus. I bought a 1983, I don't even remember
or like a Ford or some shit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I could remember if I thought about it, but about an old ass school bus, bro. It was a New York corrections bus from like the 80s, and I bought it off Craigslist. There was this dude selling it for like 20,000, and I had this like really crazy fucking proposal that I made trying to get some like bread for people to like help me with this project I was trying to do. So I sent him the proposal, and he was like, "Look, bro, I'm down to give it to you for 10,000, like, but no lower, like, and I need cash, like." So I was like, "Fuck it." So I literally, bro, I shot fucking like 45 music videos in like a 30-day period, and like all the homies were helping getting bread, like we're just cash upping each other, like 13, 15, 16, like trying to just get all the money for the bus. And we drove to New York and picked up the bus, cashed him out, signed the little fucking bill of sale. And then he drove away, and then I was sitting there in a school bus like, oh, shit. Like,
wait, so what were your thoughts of before buying this bus? What was it for? What were your goals with it?
So, like I said, I have a documentary that's coming out pretty soon, and it's called The Rare. And it's basically documents, kind of what we were talking about, the whole journey of, like, originally it was supposed to be the journey of, like, me and all my friends from the city, like, following our dream and, like, getting out of Worcester, you know? And then just, like, on the journey of it, like a lot of people like just kind of went in separate ways than like when we started, you know. It was never like any bad energy, but it was more just like the plan changed, you know. We were kind of younger when we set that shit up. I was 17, so we never like stayed together really, but we did do this fire fucking tour across America
in the school bus.
Yeah, so we went from Worcester to LA. Yeah. And we were supposed to go Worcester to LA and back.
So you and a bunch of people in a school bus that you rented.
Yeah,
and
that I bought. You pimped
it out, right?
That I bought.
You pimped it out, right?
Ownership was key. But go ahead.
You pimped it out?
Yeah, so we fucking... It was already kind of pimped out. His house like had a... Should I wait?
No.
Okay. His house had a like a hurricane or some shit. Got hit by a hurricane. And he had to live in this like van or the school bus for a while. So he took all the seats out. He made like a little house for his family. Had like a stove and shit. It was pretty cool. And then we bought it from him, and we just kind of took out shit we didn't need and put in the rest of the shit. And just like bought a bunch of couches and like stacked them up and shit. Like it was pretty crazy. Excuse me.
Sounds like somewhere I would want to live right now.
Yeah, bro. It was
kind of my friends.
It was zero rent. We had 30 days to build the bus before we left. Like it was so insane those 30 days, and it was winter. It was we bought the bus, I think, November or maybe December. And then we left in like January. So we had like 30 days or maybe 40 days to just like every day out in the winter, bro, in the fucking cold. And mind you, the bus is diesel. So like I would have to fill up like $150 a day just to keep the bus like running to like work on it all day. So it was like costing me like a lot of our bread that I had saved up and shit for the trip to like just get it there. So like that shit was a process. But that trip was fucking amazing, bro.
So then wait. So you got the van, but what I wanted to talk about was, it's not like it's been all glamorous. You've had periods where like I said, you lived in a sedan.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of the fun part. So the first one was a school bus. The second vehicle that I lived in was a yellow van. It was I don't even remember the name of that one. I think that was like a 1980 exactly. 1980 van. It was like this old band, like tour band shit. And we bought it from this old Mexican dude that was like about to die, and he was like just wanted to get rid of it for like $1,000. So we bought it on OfferUp, me and my homie Sego, and we were like, yo, let's just start living in it in LA. And that shit was a whole crazy. That was the real like low of like, that was the one of the, not the first low, but like the first like, do I want to do this shit? You know what I mean? Like I knew I was out there to do it, but it was the first time I was like, fuck,
bro. Where would
like,
you shower?
So I think at that point it was my second time living in a car, so I kind of figured it out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I kind of like would go to like Planet Fitnesses and like just the YMCAs a lot. We'd go to like the Koreatown one where like it's literally all Asian people, and you just see like me and Sego just walking in like trying to be like mad, like non-suspicious, but we're just like walking around trying to sneak in the shower and shit.
Okay. And you wouldn't even have a membership. You just kind of
we're just like, yeah, because it was just like they just didn't give a fuck. They were just doing their own thing.
Yeah. What about like cooking and stuff? Were you just straight hot pocketed out?
Honestly, bro, we were just stealing a lot of food. We were just fucking like 7-Eleven and up, like doing whatever we could. Like we didn't like doing that shit, but bro, when you're hungry and you dead ass can't figure it out, you don't know what to do, you know?
Yeah.
So like we would always try to just like make something shake. Like there was this I don't even want to say that. That's hilarious.
No, but You know what's crazy is that my question is, how do you go from, because I remember you were charging like 1,000, 2,000 per music video, and you'd be able to line up 10 in a week if you felt like it. How do you go from that? You could just make 10K at your disposal to living in a sedan, sneaking into Koreatown YMCAs to shower. Like what happened?
I guess because it's like, I like to really think a lot and really like process everything. And I guess it was like, so when I bought the van, it was after the Post Malone tour. So I got off tour at Post Malone, and I was just like, I was actually on tour with this kid, Paris, and he was opening up for Post Malone. And so he was kind of like co-signing him and trying to like bring him on. And so just that experience of like kind of really seeing what it's like to be at the top. And like, part of me really fucked with it. And part of me hated it because it was like, I'm only here because of this person. You know what I'm saying? And I think I really got to understand that. And it wasn't a bad thing, you know? But I was just like, it showed me like, okay, this is definitely something I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to ever be known for someone else's shit. You know what I mean? Like, for that or for, like, I want to really have my own thing that people are like, because people will be like, yo, you're fire. You know, he's this person's person. And I'm just like, no, I'm not. Nigga, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, you know, so, and I just hated that resistance that I had with myself of like, no, you know what I mean? So yeah, I was just like, fuck that, bro. Like, I know I obviously have figured it out. And, you know, in a matter of 2-3 years, I figured it out how to get to the top of this shit. What's to say if I just stop doing this shit, try something else, you know, and just start from scratch. And I was like, and I'm going to film it this time. Like, I'm going to document every single process of like, that's the first thing, we bought a van, you know what I mean? And just we're living in a van, like, with not even a blanket, bro. Like, $0, nothing. And it's like, everything I've gotten from this point has just been from working. Like, no handouts, no nothing at all.
I really respect that because, like you said, I feel like a lot of people that associate with, like, big celebrities like that, they're like, holy shit, like, that's it, I'm set, I don't have to do anything else. They don't think about, like, why would I drift off? This is comfortable, this is what I, this is mad cool, you know? But, like, yo, I really respect that you were, like, feeling something different and you felt you wanted your own limelight, you know, and you, yo, I can't wait to watch this documentary, honestly.
Like, hell yeah, bro, I'll show you the trailer after.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that just, like, and it was so fun. That's the thing. Like, you would get to do all this shit that was, like, holy fuck. Like, and it's like, you know, once you're exposed to something, you know about it. You can't, you know, it's like if you've been colorblind your whole life, you probably don't give a fuck that, like, what shirt you're wearing. But, like, when that shit's turned back on, you're like, nigga, no. Like, I need the this color. Like,
yeah.
And when you get to do all those cool-ass things, bro, and just have those, like, feelings you've never felt and, like, moments you like, you, like, there's moments of I'm like, damn, I really just made this person that happy by doing something that is, like, so simple. You're like, that's fire as fuck. And then you just gotta break it down. Okay, well, how did he do it? How does this okay, how can I do it? You know?
Yeah, I mean, you've always been like I said, do it yourself or like go getter kind of person. Like, I remember when we were in high school, you did something with the local skate shop and then you went to Africa and set up like a skate camp for a bunch of little children, and you took a photo like squad deep,
and you
just do that out of the blue, literally out of the blue. Like, you're like, this would be cool, I think I'll do it now. And then, like, you know what I mean? Regular people don't do that. People have some ideas, but it's like a risk. It's a risk to put in all this money to one thing, and then what if it doesn't work? But then the other side could be doing something that you can just barely withstand. You just barely can take it, like working a regular job that you really dislike and you only do it for money. Whereas you, it's like, yeah, I'll just live in a van with a blanket and steal my food from Honey Farms and like shower at a Koreatown, whatever. It's like, I don't know. That seems exciting to me.
Yeah,
it seems more, you know what I mean?
It There's is. Just like a, because like a, because when you have to like really understand like who you are, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm someone that, like, from a kid, like, I always, and not just, like, question authority, but I'm not the type, I don't need to question authority. Just give me understanding, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. If I understand it, there's nothing to question, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always been my, like, philosophy with everything. So it's just, like, even school, I'm like, look, you guys can't even understand who I am. So how can you even expect to teach me something?
Yeah.
And so I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to listen to you because I know you can't teach me the right way. So like I would just look for people that could do that. And I don't know, I feel like the way I've gone about things is just like, let me just see with what I know and what's there to be true, like, let me figure it out my own way. You know, what was the question? So I had something fire to say.
Yeah, I'm just saying how you're like a go-getter, you just do your own thing regardless, even if it take some risk or even if there's massive downs such as sleeping in a van without a blanket.
I was gonna say like when you come from nothing, it's not much to go back, you know what I mean? It's like almost feels like homey in a sense, like, so for me it's always been like, if you play with the mentality of I have nothing, you never lose anything at all. Like right now, this moment I'm doing this podcast, I think this morning I had like negative like 250 in one account and negative like 300 in my other account. And I'm just like, sheesh. But it's like, okay, I'm just going to figure it out. You know, and I figured it out this morning and I'm here doing this podcast. And it's like, and I'll probably make 10K this month.
Yeah.
And spend it all on fun shit and get the brand to an even bigger level. And September and October, hopefully I'll make 20K. You know what I mean? But it takes like putting everything back into that shit. Like even to do this podcast, I mean, to do this pop-up in New York took everything, like everything fucked up. But I was like, fuck it. Let me just like, even to get the hangers to fucking hang the shirt up. I was like, fuck, I might have to rack this shit. And I was just like, damn, but it's lit. It's worth it. You know,
only like more people live like that, honestly, because I feel like working a 9-to-5 job every day, waking up, you have like this comfort. You're kind of like numb to your days because, you know, like, I'm going to go to sleep at this time. I'm going to wake up at this time. I'm going to be at job at that time. I'm going to get out at that time. I'm going to do this after work. I'm going to do that tomorrow again and again and again and again. But like when you live in a fucking van, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what's going to happen.
You literally get accustomed to that. And you're like, when you know what's going to happen, you're like, bro, this part's about to be so boring for the next hour and a half. Because I know I'm going to go here. I'm going to be on the train for an hour. And, you know, like, that's why I kind of like to just live that, like, sporadic, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the more you'd, like, get known, the more fun shit just gets thrown at you, you know? You post here in New York, 15 people hit you up with shit to do. And you just get to choose. Yeah. So it's like, why the fuck would I want to plan anything at that point?
Bro, it's not even like an hour and a half train ride that can be like make you numb, bro. It could be working that job for 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years can go by and be like, what the fuck just happened? I didn't do shit with my life.
Like, and I think that is all like, so like, I think that's an understanding of time too. Not even to be on some deep shit, but like, like you really can control like how you perceive time. 100%. And like, for example, I always explain, like, when I get, like, anxiety or, like, a panic attack or some shit like that, it feels like, imagine someone was like, I tell my homies this all the time. I'd be like, imagine someone just was like, it was your birthday or you were just super down and they were like, yo, I just bought you a flight to fucking Japan. We're going right now. It's going to be lit. And then, like, but you don't have your passport. And they, like, pick you up and they have this whole thing, a limo, and you're on your way to the airport and you just, like, haven't told them yet. And you're like, fuck, bro. You know what I mean? And you're just too scared to say something and you're just like, but you can feel everything's wrong and it's going to even get worse. Like, that's what it feels like when I'm doing something that I don't like. And so, like, the more, like, I get comfortable with, like, doing everything I like, the second that thing happens, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, nah. You know what I mean? And it's, and now it's at a point where it's not even, like, I don't think about it. It's just, like, everything I do is someone like, yo, you fuck with it? No. Like, it's an instant thing, so like I don't really spend too much time doing anything that I'm like, like even if it's a horrible thing, if I'm like I'm gonna have to sleep outside tonight, like I'm gonna do it in a way that I'm gonna enjoy it, and I'm not gonna get that feeling at all.
You're also the type of person who will take an Uber to somewhere you need to go that's 40 minutes away, knowing that you only have enough for the ride there, and then you literally don't have enough for the ride back. And you have absolutely no idea how you're going to get home. And public transportation is shutting down. And everything, like, you need an Uber home. And you don't have the money for it. And then somehow you'll just, like, get an Uber home. Mm-hmm. Like in that video.
That's what I did here. How do you think I got here?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I didn't think about
exactly. How you got here. Exactly. And that's why I'm like, yo, I got to start filming this shit. Yeah. And, like, putting it on YouTube. Like,
yeah.
But.
Because you have some pretty rowdy schemes of getting money. Some of them, which won't be talked about. But, like, you have some pretty, like, rowdy, like, outside of the box thinking of, like, yeah, it's on some, like, some of the ways that you get money remind me of, like, hey, you want to come on my show? Like, hey, Bill Gates, you want to come on my show? He's like, nah. And I'm like, oh, well, Obama's coming on my show. Okay, I'll come. Hey, Obama, you want to come on my show? Nah. Oh, well, Bill Gates is coming on my show. All right, I come. And then they both come. Exactly. Like, that's how you, I've seen you do some stuff like that.
Because it's all perspective. Everything is how you perceive it. You know what I mean? And I think understanding how much you can control with the perspective, you know, and it can be damaging too. Like a lot of like the biggest artists and the biggest influencers, they're putting bad shit out in the world, bro. Mm-hmm. And I think like, being at that level, and not saying anyone I work with did that, but I'm saying just seeing how like it's systematized, you know what I mean?
Of course.
It could start as this one spurt of a good idea from someone, right? And then this person touches it, and this person makes it more sellable. This person makes it so it catches your attention more.
Yeah.
This person makes it so that it fucking, you think about it all day, you know? And you're like, what the fuck? Mm. And then you're like, okay, like, well, how about let me just do it my own way, like, and do some cool shit, you know?
Yeah.
Let me, like, make people's day and make them feel good and fucking believe in themselves and, like, get paid for it and teach other people how to get paid for
100%.
it.
100%. Like, a lot of the time, bro, like, all these mainstream artists, they, like you said, there's so many people. It's like psychological warfare. Like, they have these teams that it's not just as simple as, like, rapping and producing and, you know, like, getting it out there. It's like a whole fucking, like, they have a big responsibility because millions and millions of people are listening to this. So if they have a certain like plan or goal in mind, bro, they can like fuck with that shit to the point where people are like not even themselves, you know? Like,
and then but then you have to understand too, like when you see how like the industry works, you know, like these people don't get paid unless they put out X amount of, you know, when they get paid, it's a loan. It's like, hey, here's 2 million, but you owe us 2 million off your stream. So drop 2 albums and hopefully you get that 2 million back. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then like from there, they have their nuts in their hands until they have that 2 million back.
Most people,
you know,
are willing so to let's do whatever say
you fucking bought a couple cars and a house, and now your mom has fucking terminal cancer, and her bills are 10 bands a day. You know what I mean? You better fucking hit that 2 million quick so you can drop another album. It's like, even seeing people in those positions, I'm like, bro, I'm never gonna, I don't have to learn this mistake, you know? Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of shit. I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
I'm about to be rich as fuck. like, and not even in a cocky way, just like, me and everyone I know is gonna have all the tools I need.
Yeah. In terms of you and everyone you know, blah, 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 Rich, who taught you how to video edit? Who taught you how to make your own brand? I know the answer. The answer is nobody, right?
No, I'm not going to lie. I can't say that. A lot of...
Oh, really?
A lot of nobodies. But, like, a lot... not nobodies, but a lot of not having anyone and just on the internet, like...
Yeah. Fucking, like... You kind of taught yourself more or less.
I taught myself, but it was from other people doing it, you know? Like, I wouldn't be able to do it if, like... Like, even... I think about, like, okay, growing up, all I did was watch TV, you know? And, like, all my older cousins, they wouldn't let me watch fucking, like the cartoons and shit they would put on like MTV. So I'm seeing like Rob Dyrdek all day, Viva La Bam, fucking Jackass, like even Joe Rogan on Fear Factor. I'm seeing all these like people and like, and then you see like Rob Dyrdek, like he's like wearing DCs and he's like, oh, he's getting paid for that. And he's like skating an Alien Workshop brand and he owns that. And then you're like, oh, and then Monster. And then you start to like, I think all those influences and then just like, working at, like, just being a broke-ass kid walking around the neighborhood every day, like, I stumbled on the skate shop, you know? And they, like, they showed hella love to me and, like, you know, gave me my first board for free, gave me everything. So it's, like, a lot of these just things that just tapped into my life, you know? Like, wherever you get love, that's where you're going to try to find love, you know what I mean? So, like, a lot of kids, it's the streets, you know what I mean? And, like, for me, I was just as open to that, but it was, like, I was able to curve it in a way, you know? Like, I didn't have to sell drugs because I could shoot videos, you know? I could still be with everyone that sold drugs and get the thrill and the fucking, like, you know, really fucking, like I felt like that's who I identified with, you know? Because I grew up in a white family, like a white home, like in a white neighborhood. And then I'm like, I go to this school with a bunch of black kids. I'm like, bro, what the fuck's going on? Like, how come I'm not like these kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And then so it's like when I got older, I was like, damn, I feel more... like with this crowd. Mm-hmm. And then my mom's like, oh, I don't want you with all these like killers and gangbang. You know, she's on her like, oh, she's a whole different world that she's coming from. You know, mm-hmm. she's trying to protect me. So like, it was a lot of just like trying to find myself in that shit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what like, you know, I took the love from the skateboarding community and like the loyalty and the respect from the streets and like the hustle mentality, you know, and then just like the fucking like, people in Worcester that just work hard and don't complain about it. They just get it done.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of shit, I feel like. Just that just rubbed off.
Yeah. And when did you start Denied Approval?
Started Denied Approval in...
That's your clothing brand.
Denied Approval is my company, my brand. Clothing is one thing that we do. We do videos as well. There's a lot more shit on the way, but that's what it is for now.
Mm-hmm.
But I started that about 2 years ago, like... August 2018 or so, like just about right during the Post Malone tour, I started it actually. I was on the tour and I was just like, bro, this shit's too crazy. Like, I'm stupid to not film it. You know what I mean? Like, I was getting paid to film everyone else and like they would take my videos and put them on other platforms and get millions of views. And I'm just like, bro, I just got paid $250 for this or like, you know what I'm saying? And then... So it was just a lot of that shit. I'm like, bro, I need to start my own shit.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So what's the idea behind it?
Basically, I feel like I said it really good before, mm-hmm. but I'll try to say it still good. But, you know, Denied Approval is just really like not waiting for anyone to ask me the question again.
What is the meaning or the thing you're going for with Denied Approval?
I think with Denied Approval overall, I'm going for like a... I think my product is like inspiration, you know, and I feel like whatever my thing that I do is I provide inspiration, you know, so whether it's a shirt, it's a video, it could be a music festival, you know what I mean? It could be a magazine, it can be anything that I want to do, you know, that's what I'm going to provide. And so like, I think Denied Approval is a lifestyle, it's a piece of your lifestyle, you know, and you can like consume it in any form, you can, you know, but like it's overall like a style of life, like an inspired life based on like reality and like hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I I make products to deliver that.
And when did that start?
So I did, when I started Denied Approval, it was just on the video stuff. I was just like, I know I can start making videos of people that I know, and I know how to, I already knew how to make shit go viral and make like really clean cut shit, just from working with a lot of people. So I was like, I can make my own shit, make it go viral, you know, and then just post me and like my friends and just show like how cool we are, just like real vibes and shit, and they'll fuck with us, you know, even if they don't know who we are, because the product's good and we're genuine, like they'll fuck with us. And so I was like, let me just see how it works. And so I posted our first videos on some funny shit. It's hilarious. And it was really good. Like, people fucked with it. And we were starting to get known, like, in L.A. a little bit. I was like, oh, shit. Like, this could be a thing. And very similar, I feel like, how the this podcast has been. Like, that's, I'm like, bro, this shit's so fire. Like, seeing how it just starts and, like, everyone embraces it. And you're like, bro, this is it. Like, you feel it. And then the second video was kind of eh. Like, it didn't do as well. And then I was like, so let me switch it up a little bit, you know, because at the time it was hard because I had a lot of people and I, you know, I wanted everyone to work as hard as me. And I'm like, yo, why aren't you helping me edit? Why aren't you helping me shoot? Like, I'm staying up all night. Why aren't you staying up all night? And I had to realize, like, yo, like, everyone's not in it like how you're in it, you know? And I had to take a step back and be like, okay, if I'm going to do this and I need to hold someone accountable, then I have to just go with who's there, and that's me, you know? So I'm going to be the person that's going to take this shit to wherever it needs to go, and it has to be done in a way where I can't rely on anyone else. So if they leave, it can't fold.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I got to start being in the videos. And I more just wanted to be the puzzle piece player and make something that, you know, I could be behind the scenes moving the pieces, but it didn't happen that way. So I started vlogging and just kind of took, like, a good year to learn how to, like, do that and just experiment. And then once people started watching the vlogs, they were just like, yo, we want to buy some, like, wear some merch. I'm like, okay, perfect. Like, because I knew I was already helping other people with their merch, but I just didn't think it was ready for, like, me to have merch yet. And I started, and then, like, a lot of dope people started wearing it, and then, like, started turning into more of a brand. And, like, that was also my thing, was, like, it, always when creating something, under promise and over deliver, you know? So, like, I was like, yeah, I'm just, like, making, like, a merch or something, you know, like, acted playing dumb, and then I, like, drop a hard-ass shirt. And people are like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't merch, you know what I mean? And it's actually the design that Supreme stole, like, last week.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can talk about that shit after. But that was my first design I ever made, and people were just like, oh, this is hard. And so I kind of just played that, like, game of, like, merch for a while, and then after a year I did brand.
And you live right now, you have a crib in LA where you live with like 17 other people.
I think 15, but yeah.
15 other people.
Yeah, and a dog. Shout out to Zaza.
How many rooms are there?
I think there's 6 bedrooms and a loft.
Yeah. And how'd that come about? These are all people from Denied Approval?
No. So it's basically we're all homies and shit. But it originated as my homie PJ's crib. And he had that shit. I think he was living there for a year. And he has a clothing brand called Amore. And so he had a bunch of his homies living there. And then when coronavirus hit, I needed a place to live because I was living in my car and shit.
Yeah.
That's when I was living in the Tahoe. And so I was like, yeah, fuck this. I'm not sleeping in a car anymore. So I moved to this apartment for like a month. And then coronavirus hit, so I had to leave there. And I just hit this kid. I was like, yo, he always had bedrooms and shit opening up. So I was like, yo, you got a bedroom, bro? Like, by any chance? Or even just like somewhere in the crib I could sleep? He's like, yeah, like, there's a room. Just pull up. So I moved there like the next day. And it was just me and he had a bunch of homies. And then like 2 kids moved out like the first week. So there was 2 open rooms. So I was like, oh shit. Like, Sego and Yanni, like, come on, let's go. So Sego's my best friend. He's the one that lived in the van and the cars and shit with me. And he makes music, and so he's from Worcester as well, and his shit's fucking fire. Like, it's taking off right now. So Sego moved in, and then Yanni is his producer. So he records all his music, he produces all his beats. So he moved in, and then I had Joe, one of my close homies from Shrewsbury, move in, and fucking, he does all our video stuff now. And there's like 3 kids that moved into the loft, 3 or 4 kids. Bro, it's fucking crazy. I can't even explain all of it.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
It's nuts, bro.
Even just when four people are at my place, I'm like, oh my God, kill me now. If this is living with people, just kill me now. Yeah. No.
Nah, it's fun though. Like everyone's on their shit, you know. Everyone has their own thing going on. I think that's what's most important is like there's like 6 or 7 clothing brands in the house.
It also helps that you're the kind of person where you could be in your room and there could be a literal explosion in the kitchen and you'd be like, oh, damn, and like go film it and then just come back to your room.
Literally. And that's why I'm like, damn, this could be really sick because like a lot of these kids are doing the same shit as I either am doing or like just did, you know, with starting a brand. So I'm like, oh, let me put you onto this shit. Let me show you how to do this. And then they're also just like popping out in the vlogs.
How old are all the people who
live there? So everyone's like, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
That's insane.
Yeah.
15 of them in one place. Sounds like a recipe for some insanity.
It is, but the thing is, yo, bro, like...
When me and my friends, even now, we're like 6 deep in one place, as long as it's not my place,
yeah,
it's some insanity.
It's crazy as fuck, but you also have to think, like, we're all like... We're not your average fucking 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Like, we're fucking... Like all running businesses, all like paying bills, all fucking like really trying to like get rich. Like not even just like blow up, like run a business, get rich, and like help our friends run out their businesses. So like that's what's cool about it, because it's like we turn up and do all this crazy shit, and then like we'll just go in our rooms for like 2 days. Yeah. And just like drop a collection of clothes, and then everyone has money again, and we're like, "Hey, let's go!" Like,
and you're just really harnessing the power of the internet as well.
Yeah, bro, because people don't realize how lit it is. Like,
it's a tool,
it's everything you could ever want.
Yeah,
if I
you can use this piece of plastic to buy other pieces of plastic
and generate more pieces of plastic that you can buy more pieces of plastic. Yeah. But no, I was gonna say, I was talking to my friend the other day, Tasego. And we were talking about, like, heaven and shit. And I was just like, yo, like if heaven's real, right? Like, what do you think it would be like? You think we'd all have the same version? Or, like, it'd be different, like, to like you know?
Yeah.
Like, my heaven would probably be...
It would have to be different because people... Not everyone just has the same...
You know what I mean?
It would have to be different, right?
Yeah, so I was just trying to be, like, logical, not even what I believe.
On some Plato and Socrates.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay, shit. And then I was like, well, shit, mine would probably be like some bad bitches. Like mine would probably be a skate park with a restaurant in the middle and some bad bitches and fucking weed birds flying around shitting out weed. I was like, oh, there's a nug. And it would just be so happy. You know, and all my friends would be there and we'd be eating and hanging out with people and it'd be lit. And then I was just thinking, like,
a dark and silent room
with fire coming out everywhere. But no, I was just like, damn, bro, like, what is honestly stopping me from building a skate park with a fucking restaurant in the middle of it? And you know what I'm saying? Like,
some like mechanical birds, like,
yeah, like what is really stopping me from creating? And then I'm like,
money.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, then this is how you start to really like transform everything, is like just realizing, okay, it's cause and effect. Like, I could have this dream life, everything there I can buy with money. Mm-hmm. So, okay, boom, how much money would this jet actually take? Okay, $400K to do this, to buy a plot of land and pour a cement foundation and build a skate park and a restaurant in the middle and put gas, whatever the realistic steps to do all this shit is. It costs that much? Okay, how do I make that much? Like, okay, well, let me make 100K 4 times. That's easier to think about. How do I make 100K? Boom, okay, I gotta, let me start a food truck. You know what I'm saying? Boom, one music festival, I'll probably make like 20-30K. So this summer, I'm going to have this food truck go there. And then boom, after that, I'm going to buy 4 food trucks. I'm going to have my 400K in like 2 years, bro. And have a fucking skate park with some badass bitches around it with a fucking restaurant in the middle. You feel me? Yeah. And I think when you break it down like that, anything is obtainable.
It's possible.
And then once you do it and you get it and you're standing in your fucking skate park with a restaurant in the middle and the bitches around, you're like, bro... Hell yeah, let me show other people. Like, yo, what's your dream, bro? Like, what's your fucking this? Oh, yeah. So, look, first thing you got to do is figure out how much that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, that's what you're I'm breaking like,
down. You're breaking down the problems into little mm-hmm. fractions of pieces instead of being like, skate park with a restaurant in it. Well, that's impossible. Goodbye. I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yo, because it goes back to what you were saying. Like, you used to watch, like, Rob Dyrdek on MTV, and, like, he would be promoting all these brands. But, like, me as a kid personally, I would watch Rob Dyrdek and be just like, just watching it mindlessly, you know, be like, oh, mm-hmm. that's cool. Because I'm living this life. I have these parents. Like, obviously, like, I don't see that happening to me. Like, who's fucking Rob Dyrdek's not going to come knock on my door and be like, yo, you want to chill with me?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel a lot of people, like, especially the youth, when they see, you know, people on TV or whatever, they think it's out of reach, you know, like you have to be brought up a certain way. You got to like be around that. You got to have the connections. And obviously they don't have that right now. So they're like, oh, whatever. I'm just going to work a 9-to-5, go to school. Like, you know, the shit that your parents want you to do. But yo, like you breaking out of that and being like, fuck that. Like, I'm going to break it down. Like, how I'm going to get to this. I'm going to do this.
Well, you know what it is? Is that one of the things that stops people from doing things in terms of pursuing their dreams is that if there's not already a societal structure in place for that thing, then it's quote unquote unobtainable. For example, if you were to tell someone, say that like medical school didn't exist and someone's dream was to become someone who knew how to cut people open, take out malignant tumors, and then sew them back up without causing them any excessive harm.
They would say they're brain dead.
It's impossible. Yeah. But because there's a scheme for it, everyone's like, well, that's clearly possible. Mm-hmm. But then if you say, oh, I want to be a music video producer and there's no real cutout wave, copy and paste way for you to do it, everyone will say, well, that's impossible. But what, you know what I mean? It's only impossible, quote unquote, impossible in the eyes of people because there's no structure. It's not, they don't, in a sense, feed it to you in a silver spoon. You have to make it yourself.
You know what they say? And they say, the game is to be sold, not told. And that's really what it is. It's like you're not going to get told the answers. Yeah. Like, it's going to take you looking for a long time. And over time of not finding them, you're going to create your own answers. And that's really the key to this shit, bro. Like, no one's going to tell you shit. It's what they don't tell you. It's what you learn when you're like, why the fuck won't this person help me?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, shit. Just thinking about it, maybe they won't help me because they see me as a competition or they see me as... Okay, so now how do I maneuver when I see them, if that's the case, you know? And you just learn these lessons from just, like, no one fucking with you. But I wanted to add to what you were saying, how you were saying you were, like, watching it, like, mindlessly, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was watching it mindlessly too, right? But the difference is you have to go back and connect all that shit, you know? Like, life to me is, like, you get a new little bit of insight, and now you need to think about everything that just happened to you. And now think about it with that insight too. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I remember when I learned about like addiction, you know, like a lot of my like family members are like addicts and shit. And so I was just like, okay, like I probably gonna have some type of like before I thought it was just, they were just a little weird. And I'm like, this person did this family member did that. Like, damn, my family's crazy. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is a thing. Like, this is a problem, you know? And then I'm like, okay, so why do these people have that? Oh, because they were in this place. And I'm like, damn, I'm in this place too. I'm right here, actually, in the same exact spot. So let me think about what I need to do to be in this place and not get hit with that one. Yeah. You know, like, I'm going to know when it's coming. And so I feel like a lot of it is just even in your own life. You don't have to meet Rob Dyrdek, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to, but listen to what he says and then find that in your own experience, you know? Like, a lot of these motivational speakers and shit, they're just giving you the thing to look out for, you know? Like, find this in your life, you know what I mean? Like I think I always say it's kind of like untangling some headphones, you know? Like, everyone's shit's tangled up, so like, if someone gave you the key to how their shit was untangled, it's not going to work for yours, you know? But if you can just slowly start pulling back the layers of like, all right, what's wrong with me? I'm not focusing. Why am I not focusing? Well, I'm smoking weed all day. Like, how do I expect myself? Like, and then it's like, okay, well, why did I even let myself get to that point in the first place? Yeah. Okay, so clearly I'm allowing myself to like be a little self-harm and look the other way, you know? Like, really go into yourself and be like, what am I doing, you know? And once you have, like, full reins on that, bro, like, everything, like, whether it's drive, anxiety, like, passion, you can control all that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
100%, yeah. Drive, anxiety, passion, anything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all controllable.
Yeah. Even just, like, desire, love, all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yo, what was I going to say? The thing is that people come into life in general with almost like a defeatist attitude of, I have a set limited amount of options. I can only do either this or this. For example, my whole life, I can only do school. It's the only thing I can do. It's the only thing that works. Anything else is just absolutely out of question. And that's just, you have blinders on like a horse. It's just completely closed off to every other possibility. And this whole thing, I always talk about this whole thing of like college and stuff, or any of those, any normal, regular type of job. Mm-hmm. It's all pretty new. This society and like industrialization and technology, it's all pretty new. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon, and we think that it's permanent because our parents did it and maybe their parents did it a little, but then the generation before that, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And with the internet, everything is going to change. Yeah. Everything, absolutely everything. And people with AI too, everybody's just about to become obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you could... Another thing too is that I was talking with Jason about this. You have like a limited time frame, and if you could just step back and look at it and be like, well, I actually only have this much time. Yeah, it seems like I have 80 more years.
Yeah.
But really, if I step back, I see I only have this much time, and I already spent this much of it doing something that I really did not enjoy. Mm-hmm. To have something that I that changes my happiness by maybe a fraction, if that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got to rethink how you're living your life, because you're not promised tomorrow at all.
100%. Like, it's funny that when people are always like, oh, you're so young. And I'm like, yeah, but I could get, like, killed tomorrow, bro. Like, it's literally on. And I think it's just because I went through some shit where I've seen a lot of shit like that to where it's a lot more realistic to me. To where it's like, yo, like, people think it's sweet, bro. Like, it's not sweet. Like, you could really get caught up and have your life taken from you like that.
Yeah.
And it's like people like go about their day like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that next week. Like, bro.
Yeah, like I was saying,
you are so crazy to think you are gonna do that next week. And I think that also has to do with like how I think a little bit. It's just like I'm just so grateful for right now, what I can do right now, that it's like that's all I think about. Like, okay, I don't care if I'm not gonna have money next week because I might not be here next week. I got money right now, we're trying to do this right now, let's figure it out. You know,
you can't even hold on. Say you're thinking something or you're feeling something. You feel anger. You feel like this is a good idea or this or that. You can't even hold on to that thought for more than 20 minutes. Now imagine you think you're going to hold on to some idea of how you're going to live your life in the next 5 years. I mean, yeah, you can plan things. I'm not saying you can't plan things, but it's not as permanent as you think. Everybody's like, this is set. Or like, oh, I'm a doctor now. I'm a dentist now. Or I'm a lawyer now. Like, I'm set. It's like, who said you're set? What if everything changes out of nowhere? It's like coronavirus style.
Yeah, but see, the beauty of it, right? This is where I think a lot of people should find their confidence from, if you don't have any, is if you can get good at something, you can get good at anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's not seen this way, but getting good at something, like, should have a better name for it. Like, a skill that we practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be like a class we take, how to get good at something. Because when you learn how to take lessons from failure, like, I guess that's the more proper term, it's you can figure out anything, you know? Like, even if I fucking, like...
It's like lessons from failure on the path
to self-mastery. Yeah, like, bro, if you're fucking, like, blind and you're trying to hit a dartboard, like, throw that motherfucker and just listen, you know what I mean? Did that shit hit the wall or did that shit hit the fucking dartboard, you know? And just keep doing it to where your arm is perfect.
Yeah.
You'll be a blind motherfucking throwing bullseye.
Yeah.
And that's how it is like with anything, you can do that shit.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, like, I can learn some shit tomorrow and be a master within the next 3 years.
Yeah.
If I want. But you have to want it. You can't just be like, yeah, I'm gonna work a 9 to 5, give 50% of my energy to that, have a shorty, give 25% of my energy
you're
to
screwed,
that.
You're screwed.
And then try to pay my bills, and then I'm gonna be a rapper. Bro, you got it. And it's silly, you know? And it honestly is silly. Like, that's why I try to put people on game realistically. Like,
yeah, you only have so much energy for each day. Mm-hmm. And if you spread it too thin, yeah, you can be the jack of all trades and master of nothing.
Yeah. And I think what I'm trying to be is like the complete opposite of that. Yeah. You know, like, have a solid foundation and let everything just stand tall on that and be like, whoa, this kid has a TV network and a clothing conglomerate that is helping like run other brands and fuck, you know what I'm saying? And then we have a magazine and we're not only doing ours, I could go on and on about like anything I want to do. If I'm doing a podcast, bro, and I have enough money, I'm gonna make my own mics.
Yeah.
And then everyone I inspire to do a podcast, hey, bro, it's the best mic.
Yeah.
Everything's money, a business, you know?
Yeah.
And once you, like, get hip to that shit, you're like, yeah.
I think it's really powerful how you're talking about how if you just, There should be a better word for getting good at things. If you can get good at something, you can get good at anything. Like, I honestly think so. You know, I grew up skateboarding, and that's like one of the hardest things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You could put a gun to my head and say, in 5 years, you better be able to switch flip back 5-0 this ledge this tall, and I still wouldn't be able to do it. I could try it every day,
mm-hmm.
and I see people who I know who are quote unquote, you know, losers or whatever. But they can do this thing that's harder than anything else,
mm-hmm.
really good. And I think to myself, yo, you can do that. You can, if you put in the time and obsession you put into this thing,
mm-hmm.
you could do absolutely anything. Mm-hmm. Even though you're just a frail pencil armed skateboarder who has no money to even buy Arizonas and you steal them all day. You have this thing. You have this ability to get good at something that is not natural.
And that's the thing, bro. That's what people aren't identifying. It's like, that's what I feel like I see in people. It's like, look, yeah, you might be like totally not what you think you are, but I see it, bro. Like, you can do the thing that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, how do we get you to this point?
Yeah.
Okay, boom. And that's just nurture. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's nature and there's nurture. Nurture is where you just, your environment is teaching you new things and you're just like, you know, it's slowly becoming a different person.
Yeah. And people have infinite potential inside of them. And
yeah.
And to have all that potential and just say, well, all I can do is work at Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can do is accept this life that's in front of me. Don't get me wrong. Everyone has different cards that they're born with. Some people are born blessed. Some people are born screwed. But no matter what you're born in, you have the option to react to what is happening. And you can choose to react in the most negative way or the most positive way. It will step by step claw you forward until, 100%. You know what I mean? You have a lot of potential, maybe not to get to the same point as somebody else, but to get to a point that's infinitely better than the point you were once at.
Mm-hmm. And I think that should be the only, like, that's my, if I had like a script to like my secret, it would literally be like a ripped like receipt of something stupid,
mm-hmm.
That I bought. And it would just say like, just do like one thing. And like, literally, bro, I just wake up and I make sure I do one thing. Like, okay, I promoted this on Instagram today. Okay, boom, I made an app today.
Yeah.
Okay, today I bought this so that I can do this later on. You know what I mean? Like, even if it doesn't seem like a big step, bro, after 2-3 years, bro, you've been fucking stepping. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, might be little ones, but bro, that shit adds up.
That requires analyzing yourself at the end of the day, because sometimes you ask people, what'd you do today? The answer is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you're telling me you had 24 hours, you could get smashed by a bus tomorrow, and what you did with today was the absolute bare minimum of neutral living?
Mm-hmm. And even, okay, going, I always take shit deeper than it needs to be. Like, me, some days I want to do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. So let me account for those days, yeah, you know? Yeah. So today I'm going to go dumb hard, and not only am I going to go dumb hard, before the day's over, I'm going to set up something like to automatic tomorrow that's going to do all the work that I would have done, so that tomorrow I can just do this and make $1,000 and I did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, all because I just kept it real with myself. I'm like, okay, bro, I know I'm not going to do that shit. And that's like kind of why you're saying the video shit, like, you know, you can make racks, you know, like a hella bread fucking lining up these videos. But I'm like, yeah, bro, but like, I could make 50K in a couple months shooting videos, and then I have 50K, or I could have had nothing the whole time, and by the same time period, I had something that makes me 50K a month, you know? And that's more the like phase I'm in right now, where it's like, yes, I can be on tour with this person. I can live here and mooch off of this. I could fucking be a rapper and get some features with everybody I know. But it's like, I'm doing this shit for the long run. Like, by the next year and a half, 2 years, bro, I want to be in place to be putting every single thing that I find is cool on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to have to be like, hey, fucking this person, you want to partner with me so I have enough money to do my own shit? I'm going to be like, hey, this person, I'm about to do my shit outside your store.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with that being said, bro, I'm definitely trying to do episode 2 eventually.
100%.
But thank you for, I hope people listen to this and get inspired. I hope people stuck around to listen to it.
I know. I don't even know how long.
There's a lot of good lessons.
I don't know how long is this shit so far.
An hour and 13.
Fire.
It's a lot of good lessons.
No, honestly, this is one of probably our most powerful.
Really?
Like, I'm not even shitting you, bro. Like, this is honestly probably
I told you you're going to like it.
That's fire.
I told you you're going to like it.
Bro,
it
should be
fire.
Yeah.
Is this recording or?
Yes, recording. Oh, fine. The thing is, like, I know, because the way he is, bro, I knew you're going to like it. Because, like, you could look at him and be like, bro, tonight approval looks pretty rowdy. What the hell is he going to say? He's going to get on the mic and be like, little Yachty, huh? Bro, no, I'm telling you, he drops science. Bro, last time he stayed over, we stayed up every day. And you know I don't do this. Yeah. We stayed up every day until the sun came out talking all night.
Yeah, you want to something a little something before it ends?
Yeah.
Denied approval, the name, is kind of exactly represents that. Like, it's, you see it as like a negative, you know, like it's a connotation of the words, like positive, denied is like, nah. And then it's approval. It's like, you see me, you're like, what is this fucking fat ass, broke ass nigga doing here?
Yeah.
And then you're like, damn, this nigga could like probably change my life. And like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like just that. Kind of having that perspective with everything you do, you know? It's a little side note.
Karaoke.
The motherfucking G.
Peace.